This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119, 142. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalms 121, 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalms 121, 7. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 6. Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 6. We come to the close tonight of our study on the subject of evil. Next Sunday, we will begin a series dealing with the magnificent subject of the Holy Spirit. We're looking forward to that series, the wonderful study of the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We look forward to it. We trust that you will look forward to this study in the coming days. Now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. You and I are privileged to be here. We have the wonderful opportunity to focus our minds upon God's magnificent Word. What a wonderful privilege that is. May we pray together first. Father, we're thankful again this evening that we have this magnificent privilege of being here to focus our attention upon eternal truths of your wonderful Word. We are the recipients of your matchless grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that will ultimately take us to our eternal home. We bow to express our thanks tonight for salvation grace, realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory, come to the earth as the God-man for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of the world. We are thankful indeed tonight for salvation through Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It was Jesus who gave us that magnificent truth. And so we're aware of the fact again tonight that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And we are thankful for it. We thank you for the opportunity now to focus our minds upon these verses of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I hold in my hand the New American Standard. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 goes like this. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. If you'll notice, please, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. The question that we have this evening is evil gaining ground? You might want to write that subject because we're dealing with that subject this evening. Is evil gaining ground? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 literally says, by occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. You'll notice that I read from the New American Standard, says, by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. That word fear there is the word which actually means to become occupied, not to be afraid, but to become occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Over these past weeks in our study of the subject of evil, we've discovered some things, and that is when we're occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will avoid evil. And what we've learned is that evil is satanic thinking. We're either going to have God's thinking, which is vertical viewpoint, divine thinking, or we're going to have satanic viewpoint, which is evil thinking. What we've learned in past days, we'll review for just a few moments. Evil emphasizes Satan's plans. The old sin nature, number one, is usually the source of temptation. You might want to write this somewhere and remember that the old sin nature is usually the source of temptation. Volition is the source of sin. Over the last weeks, we've analyzed this particular thought over and over again. And that is that all of us are aware of the fact that we have a sinful nature. And all of us on a day-by-day basis are tempted. When temptation comes our way, we have to make a decision of whether we're going to yield to that temptation or reject that temptation. We're inside that magnificent plan of God, the divine power sphere, the love system. Inside of that magnificent sphere of power, we are victorious and triumphant, and we're having a fantastic life. Temptation comes in. Temptation itself is not the sin. But when temptation comes in, then we have to make a decision of what we're going to do with that temptation. We either reject that temptation or we accept that temptation. If we reject that temptation, we remain in fellowship, in harmony with our Savior. If we choose to accept that temptation, immediately we're knocked outside, not outside salvation, but outside of our fellowship with our wonderful Lord. So the old sin nature is usually, number one, the source of temptation. Volition, though, is the source of sin. Number three, the works of the devil can only be destroyed by functioning inside the plan of God. We've said this many, many times, and I repeat tonight, the works of the devil can only be destroyed by us functioning inside of this magnificent love system, this wonderful divine power sphere, which we call the plan of God, the love system. We also understand here that we're the products of our own decisions. Therefore, if we make bad decisions, we will bring disaster upon ourselves. Let's pause for a moment and think about that. You and I, every single day that we live, have decisions to make. Some of those decisions we make are good. Some of those decisions we make are not good. So we discover here that if we make good decisions, it will be to our advantage. If we do not make good decisions, we will be bringing disaster upon ourselves. Now, number four. Satan's plans always look good to the untutored, the unlearned, the ignorant, and it is the result of degeneracy. Now, I realize that that's a long sentence, but I want you to look at it for a few moments. Satan's plans always look good, attractive, alluring, appealing to the person who is not saturated with the Word of God, the untutored person. I hesitate to use the word ignorant, but you understand what we mean there. It is the result of degeneracy. If a person chooses to live life without the mind of Christ, without the Word of God, that person actually is going to see things and they will look good to that individual, but they will be the result of his own, her own degeneracy. Number five, an advancing or advanced believer will be able to distinguish between sin and evil. How many times have we said over the past weeks that there's a difference between sin and evil? We all understand that we cannot get on our knees and pray and ask God to forgive us for evil. Jesus Christ did not die for evil. He died for sin. Once we understand that, we realize that the only way that we can get rid of evil is to get a different type of thinking, because evil is satanic thinking. And when we have that kind of thinking, we do not have the Lord's thinking. We do not have vertical viewpoint. We do not see as God sees. So we have to understand that there's a difference between sin and evil. An advancing or advanced believer will be able to distinguish the difference between sin and evil. I trust that over these past weeks, we've heard God's word enough that we're able to understand what we're saying here in number 5. An advancing or advanced believer will be able to distinguish between sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, the scripture says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness." Let's be sure we look at this and see what it's saying. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." We'll come back to that in a few moments. "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Isn't it interesting to see how the writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us here that we need to understand the difference between having spiritual steaks and spiritual bottle. Motivating evil. An advancing or advanced believer will be able to distinguish between sin and evil. Hebrews 5:13 and 14 again. "For everyone who partakes only of milk," that's the baby believer, "is not accustomed to the word of righteousness." I don't want you to miss this evening, because I want you to see how unique this is. If a person is only drinking the milk bottle, spiritual baby food, that person is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. It's important for you to put that into your thinking, because it says, for the person who does that, who's only participating with a spiritual milk bottle, that person is a babe. And the Greek word there is unique indeed. It is napios, which is N-E-P-I-O-S. Napios is the word which means a nursing baby, a bottle baby. This is emphasizing a person who is not advanced as a believer, and that person is still participating at the milk bottle rather than eating spiritual steaks. Then it says, "But solid food is for the advanced believer, the mature believer, who because of what? Because of practice, have their senses trained to be able to discern the difference between good, God's good, on the one hand, and satanic thinking, evil, on the other hand." If you think I'm going slowly tonight, I am, because I want you to be able to see that the writer of the book of Hebrews, by the Spirit of God, is telling us that we need solid spiritual food. We don't need to remain little tiny spiritual babies drinking from the milk bottle. Now, number 6. Motivating evil exists in the thought pattern of the soul. Let's analyze that for a few moments. Motivating evil exists in the thought pattern of the soul. How many times have we said over the last weeks that evil is satanic thinking? It has to do with a thought pattern. It has to do with what we think on a day-by-day basis. We're going to either think God's thoughts, vertical viewpoint, or we're going to think satanic thoughts, horizontal viewpoint, evil, satanic thinking. Notice, if you will, please, motivating evil exists in the thought pattern of the soul. That means evil and degeneracy start with a thought. Evil and degeneracy start with a thought. It takes a lot of biblical truths to reject evil. You notice what I did here. I decided to put this in capital letters. And there's a reason for that. I'm told that when you write things in capital letters, you're actually shouting. And so I don't want you to, if I write you an email and I put it in capital letters, I'm really not shouting. I just want you to know that I understand the difference, but sometimes I just want to say it a little louder. And so I'm saying it a little louder here. Notice, if you will, we'll go back again. Motivating evil exists in the thought pattern of the soul. Evil and degeneracy start with a thought. And it takes a lot of biblical truths to reject evil. It's important for you to put that down and then put Matthew 6:23. But if your eye is evil, the entire body is full of darkness. The cosmic involvement. Matthew 6:23. I'm saying this over a number of times because I'd like for you to write the verse down and remember it. Matthew 6:23. But if your eye is evil, the entire body is full of darkness. Matthew 6:23. Then Matthew 15:19. For out of the mind come evil thoughts. Notice, if you will, what is being said here. Out of the mind come evil thoughts. How many times have we said evil is satanic thinking? So this is saying, out of the mind come evil thoughts. In Proverbs 12:21, no evil happens to the righteous. This simply means that while a person is properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, saturated with the truth of God, that person will not be consistently under satanic thinking. Doesn't mean that there will not be at times some satanic thinking, but this says no evil continually happens to the one who is righteous. Then Psalm 37, let's look at verse 17. But the Lord sustains the righteous. Psalm 37:17. Please put that one down. But the Lord sustains the righteous. And then Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil will befall you. You who love the Lord, hate, despise evil. We're not going to look at the rest of the verse right now. I want you to look with me at the first part of this verse. No evil will befall you. You who love the Lord, despise, hate evil. Then it goes on to say, the Lord preserves the souls of His mature ones. The Lord preserves the souls of His mature ones. He delivers them from the hands of the evil one. How many times should I read this? Over and over and over again. Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil will befall you. You who love the Lord, despise, reject, hate evil. And then it says, the Lord preserves the souls of His mature ones. He delivers them from the hands of the evil one. This is so powerful, I feel like I ought to just read it over and over until it's time for us to have our closing prayer and go home. Because I want you to see how unique and how powerful this passage really is. Look at it again. Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil will befall you. You who love the Lord, despise, hate, rejects evil. And then it goes on to say, the Lord preserves the souls of His mature ones. I'm going to stop there and ask a question. This is personal. This is between you and the Lord. It is not between you and me. Do you personally love the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently? Do you understand the importance of receiving the preservation of the Lord for your soul? And are you a mature one? You see what I'm saying? That's between you and God. But I promise you, all of us have a responsibility of loving the Lord preeminently. First place, no evil will befall you. You who love the Lord, reject, despises, hates evil. The Lord preserves the souls of His mature ones. He delivers them from the hands of the evil one. There's not a person in this auditorium, and there's not a believer hearing my voice tonight who would not want to be delivered from the power of satanic thinking. And we all understand that the only way that's going to be possible is for us to think God's thoughts, to see things from a vertical viewpoint. Now, Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. That's another verse you should write and keep it in mind. Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalm 121, verse 7. And then Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. The wise see the evil. The wise see the evil and hides himself. Let's make this feminine gender also. The Lord sees the evil and hides herself. But the stupid, I hesitate to use that word, goes on and is punished for it. Proverbs 2, 11, 12, 13. All of that passage is not here, but I want you to put this down so that you can look it up. The wise see the evil and hides himself. But the untutored, the person who is not advanced, goes on and is punished for it. What I've chosen to do tonight is just review for a few moments. Wasn't planning on giving all of this. But since this is the last night to deal with the subject of evil, I want to review just for a few more moments. Number 7. Members of the royal family must daily decide, will I be influenced today by God's truth, or will I be influenced by evil? I realize tonight I'm speaking to people who are desirous of being properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Members of the royal family, you and I must also see the need of making a decision every single day, asking ourselves the question, will I be influenced today by God's truth, the Bible, or will I be influenced by evil? And then notice, grace is the means by which biblical true facts are learned. You can write this one. Grace is the means by which biblical true facts are learned. Evil is the means by which false ideas are learned. Now, that's where I plan to start tonight at that point, but we'll start right there. I'll move this. We asked the question at the beginning, is evil gaining ground? I want to emphasize that because that's what we find in our Proverbs passage. Proverbs 16:6. What does it say? And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Actually, what that literally says is by occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ, one keeps away from evil. You and I realize that evil originated in angelic creation in the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of God. We looked at this a number of times over the past weeks. We've discovered where evil comes from. Evil comes from Satan. So we call it satanic entanglement. The question is evil gaining ground in your life, in my life? Evil originated in angelic creation. to the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of God. That's Lucifer. That's Satan. Do I need to rehearse a little bit tonight about Satan? All of us are aware of the fact that when you go to Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, you'll have a presentation of how Satan came on the scene and what he tried to do. In Isaiah, we discover that the personal pronoun is used over and over again. Satan desired to take over God's position. And we realize that Satan had an enlistment program and got about one-third of the angels to go along with him. Evil originated in angelic creation, in the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of God, an angel who chose to go the wrong way. Number two, evil originated and existed before human history. Are you aware of that? Evil originated and existed before human history. Number three, the origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. Now, I want to go slowly enough for you to be able to see tonight. If you've missed it over these past weeks, don't miss it now. The origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. If you and I choose to have satanic thinking, we choose to be the recipient of evil, and we choose to oppose God. That is not what any one of us as a believer should be doing. The origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. If you and I are foolish enough to allow satanic influence to move into our lives and become a major influence in our lives, so that we begin to see not from God's viewpoint, but from satanic evil viewpoint, we have chosen to obey the genius of satanic system, of this satanic system. The origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. Have I said this enough for us to be able to see what I'm trying to get over? This is serious, folks. There is, number four, a cosmic system. And Satan controls many Christians today through that system. I trust that's not true of you or me. There is a cosmic satanic system. And Satan controls many, many, many people who claim to be Christians through that satanic system. I feel like I need to go back and start with number one. I just think I will. Proverbs 16:6, what does it say? It says, occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ, the fear of the Lord, keeps one away from evil. Now, do you see what's being emphasized? Evil originated in angelic creation, in the greatest creature to ever come from the hand of God, an angel, Lucifer. Number two, evil originated and existed before human history. Number three, the origin of evil is Satan's genius to devise a system to oppose God. We ought to be mad at Satan. We should not be yielding to his temptations, because his genius is to get us on the wrong track. Satan's genius to devise a system to continually have us opposing God. Number four, there is a cosmic system, and Satan controls many, many Christians through that system. Number five, Satan's plans always look good to the spiritually illiterate. Am I going slowly enough for you to see what I'm saying? Satan's plans always look good to the spiritually illiterate. That's the reason why we read the scripture earlier, that the advanced believer has the ability to see the difference between sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand. Satan's plans always look good to the spiritually illiterate. Number six, evil, satanic thinking, can only be destroyed by us functioning inside of God's sphere of power. If you remember seeing that circle, the love system, the divine power sphere, God's plan for the believer, you remember that? Certainly you do. We'll not reiterate all the various facets, eight different various steps along the way, that ends up over here with great happiness, with the Greek word chara, C-H-A-R-A, which means joy, happiness. God's plan is for the believer to be happy and triumphant and victorious on a day-by-day basis. Satan doesn't like that. So evil, satanic thinking, can only be destroyed by us functioning, living inside of that power sphere. Number seven, evil attempts to produce a human panacea to solve world problems. This is something that you and I must be able to see, and that is that evil is always attempting to produce a human panacea to solve the world's problems. We've said this time and time again over the last weeks, and that is that evil is satanic thinking. And Satan has a plan, and he wants people to believe that his plan will work to bring about a magnificent, great history of our nation, of our world. Evil attempts to produce a human panacea to solve world problems. And this is a distortion of God's word. Number eight, evil produces erroneous concepts of brotherly love. Evil produces erroneous concepts of brotherly love. For instance, the whole idea of government trying to abolish sickness, mental illness, economic problems, frustrations, human problems by legislation, and human solutions is singular evil. Would you like to see that again? Evil produces erroneous concepts of brotherly love. The whole idea of government trying to abolish sickness, mental illness, economic problems, frustrations, human problems by legislation, and human solutions is evil. I trust I've given you enough time to put the thought down there. Only 10 points, and we're now at number 9. The world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of born-again believers. I have such a long sentence here, I'm going to just have to break it up some for you to see. The world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of born-again believers, and then an understanding and application of the laws of divine establishment. Over these past weeks, we've taken a look, brief look, at the laws of divine establishment. We've looked at volition, we've looked at marriage, we've looked at family, we've looked at nationalism, we've named these. Perhaps we should have gone into greater detail on each one of these. But let me let you see again, the world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of born-again believers and an understanding and an application of the laws of divine establishment. I'm going to just pause there and let myself rest a moment and let you copy that if you want it. Oh, my, what a confused world we live in. when people are of the opinion that they can do things within the energies of their own flesh to solve the problems of this world. The world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of born-again believers. If we can not think about anything other than that, this whole study on the subject of evil will have been worthwhile for us. The problems of the world, our individual problems, the burdens, the trials, the tests, the difficulties that come to all of us, the world's problems can never be solved apart from biblical truths saturating the souls of us as born-again believers. And also an understanding and an application of the laws of divine establishment. Have I waited long enough for you to get this down? Some of you are taking it down. Good. I can't understand myself. I'm just never this slow. I've never done it this way before. But I trust that you're getting it. This is my last night on the subject of evil, unless it comes back up in my mind again in the future. So I didn't make a total promise, did I? Number 10, and the last one. Look at this. Inner happiness and evil cannot coexist. Put this down in your thinking. Inner happiness, all of us desire this. Inner happiness and evil cannot coexist in your and my individual life. Inner happiness, joy, peace, contentment. Inner happiness and evil cannot coexist in our lives. Satan desires that we as believers drop our guard and go negative to God and to the Word of God. If you don't have anything else tonight when you leave this service, remember that the preacher is challenging himself and you not to drop our guard. Not to drop our guard. This is something that each one of us have to face this individually. We can drop our guard. We should not do that. Notice, inner happiness and evil cannot coexist. Satan desires that we believers, as believers, drop our guard and go negative to God and the Word of God. Then look at this verse, Proverbs 1:33. He who listens to me shall live in security and shall be at ease without fear of evil. Put that one down, please. Proverbs 1:33. He who listens to me shall live in security and shall be at ease without fear of evil. And did you remember that tonight we started with Proverbs 16:6? By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Next Sunday, we begin the series on the magnificent subject of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that I'm extremely excited about what we'll be learning in coming days. Oh my, we're going to be looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. We're going to be looking at the subject of tongues. It'll be interesting, won't it? Legitimate tongues, illegitimate tongues. All I'm trying to do is just to whet your appetite a little bit and let you see that we've got some magnificent days out ahead of us as we deal with the magnificent subject of the Holy Spirit. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. and for the fact that we are challenged not to be under the control of our sinful nature and not to have our lives captivated with satanic thinking. We realize again, over and over again, that we can either think God's thoughts, vertical viewpoint, or we can think satanic thoughts, evil thoughts. Help us to understand the difference. And tonight, as we close this service, we would ask that you would especially bless those who are listening to these words, who at this point of time have yet never accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. This would be a wonderful time for them to do that. We realize that we cannot coerce or push or force anyone to do it, don't want to. And yet we realize that God Himself does not force or coerce a person to believe, but simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We realize that the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. We're thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ, realizing that there's no other way to be saved other than to accept personally Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be many who will do that at this very moment. And we thank You over and over again for Your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.